Herodians and Pharisees came to Jesus with this question: is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? This incident took place in the temple. In the temple, they are not supposed to bring anything, any coin which has got image. This question is very important to all of them, particularly Jews, because two reasons. They did not want to pay tax to the Romans, tax to Rome. Why? Because the Rome said they have to pay this poll tax, or you can call it head tax, to the Rome by Roman coin, which they did not like it, because in Roman coin you have got the image of Tiberius Augustus. And not only that, the image has got an inscription. The inscription goes like this: Tiberius Caesar, son of divine Augustus, the high priest. So, several things which Jews don't agree. So, they are religiously motivated and they don't want to pay tax to Rome. That's number one. Number two, they are also saying that we live in our own country. This land is given to us by God, and we live on our own land, and why we have to pay tax to a foreign government? These are all the two reasons Pharisees, the Jews, do not want to pay tax. So they are religiously motivated. Then why did Herodians came? What is their role? Herodians came, they are politically motivated because they are the supporters of Rome empire, and they want to be loyal to the Rome, loyal to Caesar. So they want taxes to be paid. So two groups have come together with this question: is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? They came to Jesus to trap him. When they came with nice introduction. When you look at the introduction, very flowery introduction. What did they say? Jesus, you are sincere. You teach the way of God in accordance with the truth, and you do not regard people with partiality. They said absolutely correct about Jesus. It's not flattery. I wouldn't consider this as flattery. They have observed Jesus, they understood Jesus, and they have come up with the right introduction about Jesus. You are genuine. You are speaking truth. We know that. And that's how they came to Jesus. Then the question comes to us: why don't they believe in Jesus if that is the case? They know about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. There is a difference between knowing about and knowing. They know about Jesus, a genuine person, a perfect person, a person who has never done anything wrong. Know about Jesus. But they have to come and have relationship with him, believe in him, knowing about and believing, two different things. But their intention is very clear. They want to trap Jesus. So they ask this question: is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? You know, this is a very tricky question. It is something like when your children are around, your friend looked at you and asked you, have you stopped beating your children? Can you say yes? Or can you say no? That's a kind of a question, yes or no question, difficult question. Or let's say something like this. You went to a party with your wife, and your wife dressed very beautifully, and she went and joined with her friends and looked at you and said, don't I look beautiful in this dress? What will you say? Or she even says, don't I look beautiful among these ladies? You cannot say yes and you cannot say no. If you say yes, then you are favoring your wife, but then you are going to miss all her friends. So this is a kind of a situation they brought in. Pharisees, they wanted Jesus to say no to it, and Herodians wanted Jesus to say yes to it. And how did Jesus respond? They wanted to trap Jesus because they have been asking several questions all along. And in all along, those questions Jesus answered perfectly. No way they could trap Jesus. But now they knew that we caught him. We are going to catch Jesus now with this question. He cannot escape. He's going to be trapped. That's how they came to Jesus. The last question what they have asked, on what authority do you do these things? We discussed about it some weeks ago. So Jesus very beautifully, very confidently asked them a coin. Show me a coin. Now, remember, this is happening in the temple complex or temple vicinity. They are not supposed to bring the coin inside. But when Jesus asked, show me the coin, somebody brought the coin. They are the ones who set up the rules, and they are the ones who break the rules. And they brought the coin to Jesus. And Jesus immediately asked, whose image is on it? And who? What this inscription, what is written on it? So they said, Caesar's image is on it. Then Jesus very beautifully said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give to God what belongs to God. Now, we will come to that a little later about the second statement, but this first statement we will just dwell for a minute or two. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Jesus is telling his Jews audience that, look, Romans have put the roads for you. Romans have set up everything for you. That means you are safe, you are protected, soldiers are everywhere, communication goes everywhere smoothly, you are able to carry out your business activities without any interruption, the law and order is kept beautiful. What is the problem? Whatever belongs to Caesar, pay to Caesar. We Christians also have that kind of understanding. We don't belong to this world. We belong to the other world. Why we should support the government where we live? Do we have that kind of an understanding? We think that the government, which is alien, the government is an unwanted entity. So we don't want to support the government. Is that the view we have? Jesus clearly says, whatever due to Caesar, give to Caesar. But Jesus added one more sentence. They did not ask for it. Jesus said, give to God what belongs to God. Now, by hearing this statement, immediately I am tempted to preach on giving, giving offertory to the church. Last Sunday, our treasurer talked about the deficit in our income, and I'm tempted to say that, yes, Jesus said, give to God what belongs to God. But that's not what Jesus is talking here. Jesus is certainly not talking about giving our tithes or giving our offertory in this passage. Jesus is saying something important more than giving offertory. Give to God what belongs to God. Now these people, Herodians and Pharisees, heard this and they walked away. They should have not walked away. They knew that Jesus answered, well, we are caught. They walked away. But they should have stood there and asked some other question. What is that question? Yes, Jesus, you said what belongs to Caesar, we have to give to Caesar, and we know what belongs to Caesar, that is the poll tax, 1 denarius, we know. But what belongs to God? They should have asked this question. What does belong to God? If they had asked that question, what Jesus would have responded? How Jesus would have responded? He would have immediately asked, whose image is on you? Whose image is on us? God's image is on us. Then the question is rightly answered, what belongs to God? Give to God. We belong to God, and therefore we have to give ourselves to the Lord. There are two meanings coming out of it, and I want to look at those two meanings very quickly. We belong to God. We are created by God. We are placed by God on this earth, and we have to give ourselves to the Lord. There was a mother who celebrated her birthday, and she had 3 children. The first 16-year-old son had some money in his pocket, so he went and bought a bunch of flowers and gave to his mother, said, Mommy, happy birthday, I love you. He hugged her and kissed her. Bunch of flowers. The second child, a girl, 12-year-old, she also had some kind of cash in her hand, some money in her hand, so she went and bought a gift, a box. A colored, well-decorated box, because mommy likes those kind of boxes. And she gave to her mother and said, Mommy, I love you. Happy birthday. The third one, 7-year-old, he did not know what to do. He doesn't have any cash in his hand. He cannot go and buy anything from the market on his own. But something came into his mind. He went to his house, went inside the kitchen, got hold of a tray, a kind of a plate, and brought it before the mother. And he placed it before the mother and stamped on it. He stood inside of it and he said, Mommy, on your birthday, I give myself to you. Mommy was so pleased. Mommy said, this is the best gift that I have ever received. God created us. We drift away. We went away from him. But through Jesus Christ, he came and he embraced us. Jesus gave himself fully for us. And how are we going to reciprocate? How are we going to respond? By giving ourselves fully to him. Give to God what belongs to God. His image is on you. The second way I look at it is this: what belongs to God? I want to read from Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's, and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. Psalm 24, 1. Everything belongs to the Lord. All that is seen and unseen, all the creature that see, all the living beings you see on this earth. Everyone belongs to the Lord. Then how are we going to give it to the Lord? If everything belongs to the Lord, how can we give? See, in our offertory prayer, we say that all things come from you, and of your own do we give you. That's what we say in our offertory prayer. Everything comes from the Lord. But what does that mean? How I respond to that call? How do I respond to this? You know, if you look at our two generations before, or one generation before, wherever the villages were built, the church will be in the middle of the village. A school or the shopping complex will also be adjacent to the village, adjacent to the center, and all the houses will be built around that center. In those times, religion was part and parcel of your life. Religion was in the center of your life. And see, these missionaries, when they came to my part of India, they also did the exact thing. If you come to some of the villages of my part of India, you would see that church is in the middle, and a school, a primary school, is adjacent to the church, and the village is all around, the houses are all around that. Everything moved pretty much on the basis of what is happening in the church. Religion played a major role in those times. But situation changed. Now those churches became a sport, became sports halls. And church is removed from the life where we live. So the question comes to us is Jesus outside of your life? Have we removed religion away from us? The second thing is, yes, we do several things. We do, we go for working, we have a family, we have time to spend with our family, we have to meet with our friends, we have to go for holidays, we have got some travel plan, we have some recreational activities, and then we will take God along with us. Or we will take God as one of the options that I have in my life. It's all, you know, I have family, I have a work, I have also got God. Is Jesus part of your life? Most of us, we will tick here saying that, yes, Jesus is part of life. But that's not the way we should be going. Everything belongs to God. Jesus should be the center of our life. It's like a wheel. Jesus is center, and everything moves around him. I will take instructions from him because he's in the center of my life. If I have to take a decision in my life, I call him, I talk to him, I ask him. If I have to, and I want to learn from him, I want to know him. He is the center of our life. Do we have Jesus in the center of our lives? That's the question. I want to finish with this illustration. Two paddle boats left at the same time from Memphis, sailing on Mississippi River to New Orleans. As these two boats, cargo ships, you know, small cargo ships, as they were sailing, words exchanged, challenges were made, and they said, they were making fun of each other, oh, your boat is slow, oh, my boat is better. Challenges were made, and race began. One boat began falling behind. So the people in the boat did not like it. They had enough coal to reach their destination, but they were kind of slow. Someone enthusiastic in that boat thought that, you know, this is not going to go, we are not going to win. So he threw the cargo into the ovens. And that gave some extra fire. The boat started moving fastly. And they one by one, they started throwing the cargo into the fire, and at last they won the race. But they lost all their cargo, burnt all their cargo. God has given all that we need for our journey on this earth, using them for our goals is not a good idea. We may reach the destination, but we may lost all that. Keep Jesus in the center of your life. I'm sure you will reach the destination. Not only that you will reach the destination, but your journey will be awesome, enjoyable. May the dear Lord help us so that we always keep Jesus in the center of our lives. God bless us all. Amen.